Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am your ever humble host, Michael Boldea, and it's good to be with you again. All right, today's program is going to be a little different because I'm attempting to retard my exuberance. I'm not going to yell or anything because my kids are upstairs sleeping. We're recording this program rather early because we have family visiting from Vienna. And once the kids are awake, we're off to the parks and whatnot. So this was the only time available to record this. And if I start yelling too loud, the kids are going to wake up. And that's never a good thing. You know how children are. But yes, today is, July 11th, the year of our Lord, 2024. And as always, we have a lot to discuss, a lot to talk about. As has become the case over the past few months, if not a year or so, maybe even two, not much of the news is good news. It seems that the chaos continues throughout the world. And the latest example of this were the French elections, where the current leading party teamed up with the communists, of all people, just to keep the third party from gaining any ground. You need to understand that American politicians are no different than the French politicians or any other. They are brutal and cruel and are willing to make alliances with the worst kind of people if they can stay and remain in power. So if you thought that your politician, whoever your chosen politician might be, has your best interest at heart, welcome to the real world. Glad to have you. Find a seat and watch the show. Now, I want to start off today with a bright spot. Let's put it that way. For me, it was one of those experiences that fathers really enjoy having. They don't come around often, especially once your kids start getting older. But earlier this week, I was playing pickleball with my daughter. I call her Booger. Her name's Melina. But I was playing pickleball with Booger, and out of the blue, out of nowhere, she comes up to me and she says, "Dad, you know you're my best friend, right?" And it was so sudden and so unexpected and so out of nowhere that it just melted me. Now, granted, it lasted for a minute because afterwards she couched it with, you know, "So's mom and sissy. But you're my best friend too." So, you know, that took a little bit of the thunder out of my exuberance. But the way she said it and the sincerity with which she said it and that first statement, "Dad, you know you're my best friend, right?" It got to me in a way that very few things do. I'm not an overly emotional person. I don't cry at movies. I don't clutch my pearls when I see puppies playing. I'm not hard-hearted by any means, but I'm not one of these weepy fellows. You know, God bless you if you are. I don't judge. But life has taught me that it is a brutal thing, and you have to be stoic about it no matter what comes your way. This thing kind of melted me. And it was just my kid going, "Dad, you're my best friend." And I've been thinking about this for the last couple of days. And I've come to the conclusion that it's likely how God feels. as a father, that's how God must feel when his children say to him, "You're my best friend." It's about a relationship with him. It's about walking with him. It's about spending time with him. It's about getting to know him. It's about seeing him as Lord and King and Savior, but also your best friend. It was one of those moments of epiphany that stuck with me. So I thought I'd share that first, because everything after this is kind of downhill. This is the reality of the world we're living in, kids. So if you're expecting good news, you should probably seek out the pink-haired prophetess who will tell you all the good things you want to hear. Never mind the fact that they never come to pass. Never mind the fact that she misses the mark more than a blind person throwing darts after being spun around for 6 minutes. Some people need that momentary feeling of, it's going to be okay. Well, Uncle Mike's here to tell you that it's likely not going to be okay. As of now, as of today, one Mr. Robinette Biden is still in the race. He says he has no plans of stepping down, even though the machine seems to have turned against him. Now, some of them are hedging their bets and they're keeping silent, or they're still sounding their support. But I'm telling you this, all right? Until somebody makes Dr. Jill an offer she can't refuse, Mr. Robinette Biden's going to be in this. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't, you know, it's become painfully obvious that, unless it's a bowl of ice cream or a cone, he doesn't much care about the world at large. His mind has become as such where it's fractured, and if he recognizes his son and doesn't, mess him up and think it's the other one who died, then it's a good day. Oh, by the way, Mr. Hunter Biden, being just a prolific artist, apparently also knows everything there is to know about national policy, international policy, since he's been sitting in on the briefings given to one Mr. Robinette Biden. So if you thought it couldn't get any worse, take heart. Apparently a former crack addict, I don't know if it's current, but there have been discoveries of certain drug paraphernalia in the White House of late. It's accidental. It's probably nothing, but still. We'll just call him a former crack addict. I know anyone can be rehabilitated. Well, they have to want to be rehabilitated. They have to acknowledge the fact that they're in a pickle and don't have daddy to run to save them. But yes, Mr. Hunter Biden has been sitting in on the briefings that El Presidente gets, and I'm sure that the counsel he gives his father is not selfish by any means. There's no vested interest. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for your children. He wants the best for this country. So any advice he gives to Mr. Robinette Biden, who then takes it and tries to make a sentence out of it, failing miserably, well, you know it's for your own good. So I'm seeing this dragging on. I think that unless somebody makes Dr. Jill a fine offer, she's going to keep pushing him to stick it, because that's it. That's all they have. If the entirety of your existence and the continuity of your comfort is predicated upon abusing an old man, you do it, apparently, if you're Dr. Jill, because she's been in this for long enough to understand that in and of herself, there are very few qualities or abilities that she has to give her a leg up in life. So I wouldn't be surprised if the ticket is announced to be Dr. Dre and Dr. Jill. You know, Dr. Jill is vice president, Dr. Dre is president, and you got two doctors, both equally qualified to call themselves doctors. That'd be a winning ticket. Dr. Dre and Dr. Jill for the win. Could you imagine? I jest, of course, but they thought that it would be easy for them to get Joe to step down. They're realizing it's not. And the thing that you need to be aware of, the thing that seems to be getting buried under all the new narratives, is that every single person who's coming out now and gesticulating and going, oh my, we had no idea, knew exactly what the mental capacity of this man was as far back as before the last elections. Don't tell me that you can spend any reasonable amount of time around this man and conclude that he's fit as a fiddle, that his synaptic responses are all green lit, and that everything is going boogie-woogie. So that's the thing. Anyone who believes that the media is speaking truth to power, again, you can probably find yourself some beachfront property out in Arizona and enjoy the palm trees and the fresh sea air. We've been lied to for so long. And the only reason that the truth is coming to light now is that they can't hide it anymore, and they've done the numbers, and they've realized that they're going to have a hard row trying to weasel a win out of this election, because, again, the margin can only be so big. You can't come out and say a billion people voted in the U.S. when there's only, what, 330 million citizens. I'm not talking all about, you know, the other ones that we're trying to fast track to being able to vote who don't even speak English. But I'm sure that we will have individuals on hand at the voting booth to point to the name that they need to, you know, press on. I think that's becoming another self-evident reality, is that they're doing their best to try to legalize 40, 50, 60 million people into having voting rights, even though they're not citizens. And yes, I know, we just passed the new law that you have to be a citizen to vote in federal elections. But guess what? The man in the diaper can veto it. Don't you want equality? Don't you want diversity? Don't you want someone who just landed in this country, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago, who's been on the government dole ever since and who thinks, hey, this is a pretty good life. I sit at home, I work for cash, and I get a card in the mail that allows me to, well, sell it most likely for 50 cents on the dollars, but that just means more cash. I'm not being cynical. Look, I grew up in Southern California in a neighborhood that was predominantly migrant or immigrant, all right? And so every single trick in the book that they're talking about today has been going on since back in the early 90s. I know how all of this works, from the insurance fraud to selling the food stamps for 50 cents on the dollars, because you can't buy booze with food stamps, and who needs food for their kids when, you know, vodka's on sale. So all of these things are not a surprise. They're, oh my, can you believe what's happening? Yes, it's been happening for a long time, and everyone's been turning a blind eye. Look, of the entire apartment complex of the Malden Villas in Fullerton, California, it was our family and one guy who lived upstairs who worked at Disneyland that weren't on the government dole, that weren't taking food stamps, that weren't taking anything from the government. My dad worked two jobs. My mom cleaned homes until her hands bled, because earning your way is one of those precepts that was ingrained in our family from before we got to America while we were still living in Romania. There's nothing free in life. And for you to expect anything free in life is anathema to earning your daily bread with the sweat of your brow. So we never got on the government dole. We never had the food stamps. And back in the day, they used to have the food stamp books. Now it's easy. It just looks like a debit card. There's no shame in it anymore. But I remember that everyone in that complex would come around and ask if you wanted to buy the food stamp books, 50 cents on the dollar, because you weren't allowed to buy alcohol, you weren't allowed to buy cigarettes, you weren't allowed to buy the things that pacify people and, you know, I guess, couch their pain. So, and there were people that were coming around, a lot of Asians used to do this. And I'm telling you things from my childhood. We just off track first 10 minutes, but it's important for you to understand the reality of the system and how broken it is and how they're trying to overwhelm it so that it collapses. And when it collapses, it will be such a shock to the system that individuals will accept anything in order to make the pain stop. Asians used to come around the neighborhood on the first of every month, and they'd buy up every single food stamp coupon that was available to them, 50 cents on the dollar, because they understood the mathematics of it. I give you 50 cents, I have a dollar in exchange with which I can go and buy groceries, with which I can go and buy pretty much anything that is a existential requirement as far as feeding. And there were a lot of them that owned Chinese restaurants, Asian-themed restaurants, and you'd see the same faces. Up the street and to the left on Harbor Boulevard, there used to be a food bank. And the same people that were buying the food stamps were also going to the food bank and filling up as much as they could. And one day I walk into this Chinese restaurant because one of the Romanian kids across the street said that I should really try orange chicken. Never had orange chicken because my mom just, you know, fried it in a pan like a good European. And so I had like, I don't know, $15. I'm like, I'm going to try orange chicken today. I was probably 14. I went in, and it's the same guy that was buying the food stamps and that was showing up at the food bank every week that owned the Chinese restaurant. I had a lovely orange chicken dinner. Far later in life, when I realized what good Chinese food was, I realized he was just selling garbage in a bag. But that's that. You know, when you're young, you don't know any better. You're just, okay, it's orange and it's nuggets and it should taste good, and it did. I'm sure the sugar content was beyond the daily allowance, but it is what it is. Now, in the hey, diversity's great portion of our program, and again, I repeat myself because some of you are new and some of you just want to find something that you can nitpick at. I have no problem with legal immigration. I myself, my entire family are legal immigrants to this country. And I know all the loops and the paperwork and all the things you have to do in order to become a legal immigrant. It's the illegal immigration and people coming across the border that no one vets that I take issue with. Now, residents of the west central town of Springfield, Ohio, just got a surprise. It was an early Christmas present. 20,000 Haitian immigrants were just transported to the lovely town of Springfield, Ohio. And they're apparently living 10 to a bedroom. So it may be a little claustrophobic, but they're in America nevertheless. Residents of the west central town of Springfield, Ohio, are demanding that their city council do something to stem the tide of Haitian immigrants that have flooded the city, especially in the aftermath of the death of a child in a school bus accident caused by a migrant driving illegally. See, there are real-world consequences. We talked about the little girl in Texas that got raped and murdered by two illegals. Now, apparently, there's this child who died in a school bus accident caused by a migrant driving illegally. So all of these bleeding hearts, empathetic people, what's the harm? This is the harm. You're bringing in people that don't know your culture. You're bringing in people that likely aren't well-versed in speaking English, reading English, or even knowing how to drive properly. And you're trying to integrate them into American society, and it never works. These stories that come out, for every one that comes out, there's probably five or six that no one's ever made the connection for. But now the people in Springfield, Ohio, 20,000 new residents later, are going, something's fishy here. What's going on? The town situated just west of the state capital in Columbus has been a target of Haitian immigrants at least since 2014. And I can American prophetic this for you, because if the town is a hub for where the Haitian immigrants come, word of mouth spreads, and eventually Springfield, Ohio is going to become Little Haiti. Just like Dearborn, Michigan is now fully integrated into the Muslim community or the Middle Eastern community, and all of their politicians are now Muslim. Everyone in the city council is Muslim, because once they become the majority, they realize, hey, we have the power to take control. We have the power to make new rules, quote unquote. And yes, I just did the finger quotes. I despise myself for still doing them, but I still do them anyway. And so give it 5 years. If Springfield has become a hub or a target of Haitian immigrants, it will be Little Haiti. Just like Dearborn, Michigan is, you know, Little Abu Dhabi. That's it. You go in there at your own peril, and if the food is good enough, if you find a nice Lebanese restaurant, you know, it's probably worth the risk. But other than that, most people avoid Dearborn, Michigan, because they know the predominance of Middle Eastern people, their culture, and the fact that to them, violence is just another Tuesday. It's nothing to scoff at. I know, but we're trying to feminize men in this country. How dare they? Too bad. They already have the city council. They already make the rules, and there's not going to be an influx of non-binary or homosexual men that are going to try to revamp Dearborn anytime soon, because even though Queers for Palestine is a thing that we all scoff at, the reality is if Bob and Bruce move in next door and start waving a rainbow flag in Dearborn, Michigan, they're going to have an accidental house fire. So, back to Ohio. The town situated just west of the state capital in Columbus has been a target of Haitian immigrants at least since 2014. Then it's not going to be 5 years. Give it two. And in the ensuing years, some 10,000 had moved to the Rust Belt town. But in the last 4 years alone, the population has ballooned to more than 20,000. The influx is causing serious pressures to mount on the town. Ohio's Republican U.S. Senator J.D. Vance put the blame on the mounting problems squarely on the Biden administration, which is causing small towns all across the country to suffer, just like Springfield. And what you have to understand is that the big cities are already gone. The big cities have already been written off. Those things are powder kegs, and they can go off at any time. And the powers that be like that ability. They like knowing that given the right pressures, given the right narrative, given the right new minted saint that got beat up by a cop or something, the big cities just go up in flames. We saw it happening over and over and over again. Their problem was always small town America. Their problem was always, you know, tight-knit communities that still go out on the 4th of July and wave the American flags, and there's still a local ice cream shop, and there's still a place that makes malts, and everybody can walk around safely, and the kids can play out at night, and nobody is concerned or worried. And they've tried to jerry-rig the small-town American way of life by having low-income housing coming in, by trying to push diversity. And finally, it seems as though they just went for the jugular and they're just bussing them in. They despise your way of life. If you live in a small community, if you live in small-town America, if things are more reflective of the 60s or 70s where, you know, mom and dad and two little kids are walking hand in hand while the kids are holding, you know, ice cream cones and trading them back and forth because they each got different flavors. If your community looks more like that than downtown Chicago or downtown LA or downtown Milwaukee even, they have a problem with that. They will call you every name under the sun. They'll call you a bigot, a racist, a homo, whatever. You know the list. And it seems as though the name-calling thing doesn't have the effect it used to anymore. Nobody cares. All right? As I like to sing to my children, every time they have a problem that isn't a problem, every time that there's an existential crisis because they can't find one shoe, go find it yourself because nobody cares and nobody cares. And that's pretty much what those that have been called name after name for so long have finally concluded. They just don't care anymore. And so the government is doing all it can to diversify small town America. And it's not going to be true diversity. Because most Americans, God love you. I love you. God love you, though. Most Americans are very calm. They're non-confrontational people. And once you get an influx of people who've been raised on being confrontational, who've been raised with violence in perpetuity, when those two ways of life clash, it's usually the ones that were raised with violence that overcome those that are pacifists. Let's just put it that way. I know this conversation has gone off the rails. It is what it is, though. It's just one program out of many, and I'm sure you'll get something out of it. But yes, 20,000 new residents in Springfield, Ohio. And I can't say decent politician, but decent adjacent politician, because every politician in the back of his mind has a dream of becoming more than they are, of climbing up the ladder, including, you know, Mr. Vance, who I'm assuming is a decent enough man, but he's likely eyeing the VP slot. It's not as though he's sounding the alarm out of magnanimity. He's realizing that most Americans are fed up with seeing news story after news story of crimes being committed by individuals that aren't legally supposed to be here. If that sounds hard-hearted to you, so be it. It's the reality of it. Why? Look, every other nation in the world has strict immigration policies. If you want to go, I don't know, to Bali, and if you want to stay for more than 3 months, you have to jump through numerous hoops. You have to show that you're able to financially support yourself while you're there. And unless you marry a Filipina or a Filipino, every 3 months you have to leave the country and come back and renew your visa. Every other nation is allowed to have strict immigration policies except for the U.S. And it's not as though we couldn't enforce it. It's that this administration doesn't want to enforce it, because they need a plan B and a plan C and a plan D. Speaking of plan B, C, and D, I ran across this article because why not? The U.S. apparently is using the Netherlands and the Denmark as cutouts, as foils, as straw men, and providing American-made F-16 fighter jets to Ukraine. So, how do I put this? I've never been to a concert in my life. Actually, one. Somebody dragged me to the Pabst Theater And I can't say dragged. It was these two, actually, I think they're Ukrainian. They're called the Two Cellos. So two young men that played cellos. And they kept the crowd entertained. But if you've ever been to a concert that's waning, and you have a pump man trying to come up and enthuse the crowd in you, come on, put your hands in the air. This is what's happening right now with the Ukraine-Russia conflict. The Ukrainian people are tired. They're beyond tired. Their young men are in the dirt. They have no more men to spare. The Russians are still at it, and I'm sure that the average Ukrainian wants this thing to end. But the West, including NATO and the United States, are like the pump man who's trying to keep things going. They're like the pump man who's trying to keep everyone enthused about the potential of World War III. So American-made F-16 fighter jets are on their way to the Ukraine. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, the man who thinks he knows how to play the guitar, said on Wednesday, announcing the follow-through of a key commitment years in the making. Indeed, I'm telling you, and I know there's no way of proving this or verifying it, but if the poll numbers showed that the man in the adult diaper was ahead by double digits, this wouldn't be happening. They would allow this thing to come to a conclusion. Whatever concessions each side had to make, bring them to the negotiation table, be done with it. Stop killing each other. But no, the poll numbers aren't where they need to be, and so they need to have this in the back pocket. And again, I remind you of what the French administration just did, aligning themselves with actual communists so they can stay in power. If you think it's above or beyond this administration's willingness or ability to go to war, to keep in power, you haven't been paying attention. They've been propping up a cadaver for the last 3 years, insisting that he was as sharp as ever before, that his cognitive ability is that of a Rhodes Scholar, while they knew exactly how diminished he is and how much worse he's getting day by day. But that's okay. We got Hunter in the background. I mean, if you're not feeling safe now, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you're just a conspiracy theorist. Maybe you're just like that chicken. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Look, you're in good hands. And you know what? Chances are those hands may have cocaine residue. Anyway, back to the F-16s. I know it's early. It's very early in the morning. And I'm usually a morning person, so I can't excuse that for, you know, this not being the best show ever. But we did have a long day yesterday, and kids have energy, which I, at, you know, the brink of 50, no longer have, but I had to keep up because you can't let kids run in the woods by themselves. So, back to this. Blinken, speaking at the NATO public forum, said the advanced fighter jets are expected to be defending Ukraine's skies this summer. Mm-hmm. Blinken did not identify the number of F-16s being sent to Ukraine from the Netherlands and Denmark. A joint statement from Washington, The Hague, and Copenhagen said other details are being withheld for operational security. The delivery of F-16s comes on top of President Biden's announcement that NATO allies are providing 5 more air defense systems to Ukraine as the country continues to face devastating Russian missile strikes. Jets will be flying in the skies of Ukraine this summer to make sure that Ukraine can continue to effectively defend itself against the Russian aggression, Blinken said in a statement. You're presupposing that they've been able to thus far defend itself against the Russian aggression. Pretty much we're going to be at what? $100 million per surviving citizen of Ukraine, as far as how much money we've shipped over there. So much armaments that it's unfathomable. And still, the numbers are the numbers. Unless Europe or NATO decides to go boots on the ground and declare World War III, unless the U.S. decides to actively begin war with Russia, Ukraine will lose this in the end. It's just the reality of the numbers. Again, no good guy here. Both evil, both wrong. However, the numbers are the numbers. And we're doing all that we can trying to get the Russians to make the first move, because that way we'll have justification for reciprocity. We'll have justification to go to war. Well, look, they did it first. And the Russians, to their credit, are being even headed. They're not allowing themselves to get baited into this. What they are doing, and apparently the U.S. Is too busy celebrating Pride Month to realize it, is that they're solidifying their relationships with all other key nations that are antagonistic against the West and the U.S. So they're strengthening their alliances with the Chinese. They're strengthening their alliances with the Saudi Arabians. They're strengthening their alliances with the Iranians. All of these oil-rich nations aren't on the U.S.'s side. But that's okay, Mike. We have electric cars. I know. I saw a story that I'm going to – it's not that important, but it's hilarious to me. And so we're going to discuss it, because it's just – This is the way that these individuals who are in power blunder about, causing damage to the average citizen. So we've been told that in order to save humanity, we have to buy electric cars. And if anyone embraced that idea more than any other state, it would be California, wouldn't it? I mean, it's where all the bad ideas start nowadays. So you go to California, they've got kale smoothies. You know, that's another bad idea. Soy burgers, all this nonsense. It starts in California. And so the Californian population embraced the idea of the electric car like no other state in the union. And now, grid operators are telling Californians to prepare for power conservation. What was it? Palm Springs just had its hottest day on record, 124 degrees. Imagine rolling blackouts where you have no power for 6 to 8 hours in 124 degree weather. And you know, the residents of Palm Springs, unless last time I checked, are not the youngest, most robust individuals. They're usually towards the twilight of life, waiting for the Grim Reaper to knock on their door or ring their Ring camera. So living in a home without air conditioning will likely precipitate that visit for many. But yes, after insisting that to save the planet, we all need to go electric. Why do you hate Mother Earth and still drive a truck? Well, because I can still get gas. Apparently, Californians aren't going to be able to get power. So yes, prepare to conserve power. Prepare to be told that you can only charge your car every other day, that you should turn off your air conditioning 6 hours a day, all this good stuff that the communists used to do. Back in the day, back when good old Chucky was in power in Romania, if your license plate ended in an even number, there were certain days in a week when you could drive, And if your license plate ended in an odd number, you could drive the other days. So basically, you had to schedule your existence around whether your license plate number ended in an even or an odd number. And that was the way that they fixed congestion on the roads. They didn't try to widen them. They didn't try to make them better. Because, I mean, anyone who's been to Romania, it's gotten better now. I only saw a couple of potholes when we were there last summer. But if you were in Romania in the early 90s, it looks like you were driving through something that had just survived an air raid. Just potholes that you could sink an entire car into. So the way they fixed it is, yeah, only half of you can drive on Mondays, half of you on Tuesdays, the other half on Wednesdays. And so people just, okay, we'll do that. I don't think that's going to work with the American populace. I think we're far too independent to do that, but they're going to try. So, yes, California, if you're still living there, prepare yourself mentally more than anything to, support the planet by conserving your power. Oh, mercy. So, yes, this is yet another escalation. If you don't see it as an escalation, and I'm talking about the F-16s being provided to the Ukrainians. Who's going to pilot these planes? Because I know Ukrainians are geniuses. I mean, they got the world to give them money forever. Are you saying? No. Look, the average citizen in Ukraine has been living through hell for the last 2 years. Our ministry has done what any ministry should do, which is help the hurting, which is feed the hungry. We work in Ukraine. I'm poo-pooing the Ukrainian government because they're just as vile as the Russian government. They're just as vile as the French. Any politician, are you? Yes, any politician. Because their predisposition is to glom on to power at the expense of the average citizen, and that's a no-no in my book. If you're a duly elected individual, you're duly elected in order to have the best interests of your constituency at heart. Not to make yourself rich, not to grow your power base, but that's another story for another time. So, by this summer, Anthony Blinken said, or Anthony, it's not Anthony, because I can't call him Anthony if it's not Anthony, but yes, by this summer, F-16s will be flying the Ukrainian skies. President Biden first announced in June 2023 that NATO partners would pledge to provide F-16s to Ukraine. Oh, I guess, see, I apologize. Now we know who's going to fly the planes. In May, the first Ukrainian pilots graduated from a U.S. training program. We have no vested interest in this war. We just want it to end. Please. Look, and the average Ukrainian knows that they're being used by the West. The average Ukrainian politician doesn't care. They're getting money, they're getting weapons, and so they will keep it going long after the people say, "We just end it." We're sick and tired of our sons and daughters going off and dying. And although most, let's say, Ukrainians will blame Russia for the atrocities that have been committed, there will be some in whose hearts hatred for the West will take root and grow like a boil, because they will have realized, if not for the West, if not for England, if not for NATO, if not for the U.S., trying to keep this going, keep the party hopping, it would have ended. And their brother or their father or their sister or their mother would likely be alive. Look, Russia has made it very clear they will not allow Ukraine to be part of NATO. This is the whole reason for this constant back and forth. So this isn't ending anytime soon, because we need to keep it going. We need to have it in our back pocket in case the numbers don't pan out in a couple of months, unless plan B and C don't work out. I've made my position clear. I'm not going to repeat myself. When the dust settles, those of you who, said mean things can apologize. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky welcomed the announcement as bolstering Ukraine's air defense. The urgent need for such help was underscored by a Russian missile attack on Sunday that hit a children's hospital in Kiev with an estimated 300 report injured, including 4 children, and 2 deaths. Now, I am not a conspiracy theorist. I do believe, however, that this attack on the hospital was timed somewhat too conveniently. You're telling me that a Russian missile attack on a children's hospital only killed 4. That's the narrative we're going with. So either they're bloodthirsty murderers who cut a swath of death throughout, or they're incompetent because their missiles only killed 4 people. Something is fishy about this story. Just as, remember the island with the Ukrainian that stood his ground and goes, "Oh no, you shoot." A lot of these stories that make headlines, a lot of these stories that are aimed at the West to make people angry at the Russians and to want to see blood, turn out to be either false or represented very differently than what actually occurred. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to get into it, but it smells fishy to me. And anytime something smells fishy, I take a step back and try to analyze it just a little more. Because, and again, we're just switching because we don't have much time left, but when that whole He Gets Us campaign came out, last year? And everybody was like, "Oh, so beautiful." Something smelled fishy to me, and I told you about it. Well, now they're back. And the latest public relations initiative aimed at rebranding Jesus by the He Gets Us campaign is that the one who identifies as they, them, is your neighbor. I know. Who'd have seen it coming? There is a very purposeful intent to this He Gets Us group, and they're very well funded. And the purposeful intent is to make Jesus and the gospel something that they are not. More permissive towards sin, more permissive towards perversion, more permissive towards the things that God abhors. I'm just leaving it at that. I know, a lot to digest, but it is what it is. We were going to get into some of the things going on in the church, because right now the politics of these United States is less of a concern to me than what's happening in the church. Because I never focused on the idea that America can be saved, because we're too proud and we're too stiff-necked to repent. And without repentance, it's not. There will be no restoration. But I did hold out hope that the church, seeing the things that are happening in the world, would return to the notion of being Christ-centric. Well, Presbyterian pastor has just come out denying the virgin birth because, you know, it's biology 101. Reverend Mark Sandlin, who is the senior pastor of Presbyterian Church of the Covenant in Greensboro, North Carolina, a church that describes itself as an inclusive community experiencing, exploring, appreciating, celebrating the spiritual foundation of existence while also affirming the presence of that which has been traditionally called God in human life. So they're just lost. But he decided that he was going to put his cards on the table. And he said that Jesus was not born of a virgin, and his conception was not supernatural because it's biology 101. So there you go. This is the modern day church. Now, I've got a few more articles about church folk pulled up that I'm not going to get to because I wanted to make this point today. And it's a point that you need to really let settle in your heart because a lot of you believe that persecution could never come because the law is there to protect us. Understand that when laws are established by the lawless, when laws are established by the godless, their target will always be people of faith. And the most recent sentencing that has occurred for four pro-life activists who had been found guilty of blocking abortion door access shows us this. This happened in Nashville, by the way. Months after a Nashville jury found six pro-life Christians guilty of both conspiracy and face charges for blocking access to an abortion clinic, resulting in the defendants each facing up to a maximum of 11 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and a fine of up to $350,000, compliments of this administration's weaponized Department of Justice, because there is no justice. Perverted justice is no justice at all. Nobody who burnt down entire cities 3 years ago saw the inside of a prison cell. Let that sink in. There were beatings and murders and everything else. Nobody went to jail. But you have a handful of believers that stood in front of an abortion clinic, and, well, we have to throw the book at them. So of all of them, one man got prison time. Cal Zastro, who was considered one of the organizers, was sentenced to 6 months in federal prison and 3 years of supervised release. I don't know this man, God bless him, but I like the cut of his jib, because when he found out that he was going to prison for 6 months, he said this: "My response to being sentenced to federal prison for peacefully protesting or for peacefully protecting children is worthy is the Lamb of God. Baby murdering will end in the name of Jesus." But the others, they got supervised release. Their lives are never going to be the same again, all because they stood outside of an abortion clinic. Tell me that justice is blind. Tell me that there's equal justice under the law. So if you're hoping that the justice system or that laws will protect you when that day comes, understand that they're already failing to protect Christians and Christian ideals. In where else did I see that? I think it happened in Denmark. Of course it did. A 17-year-old girl fended off attackers with bear spray or pepper spray. They were intent on doing her harm. They were intent on raping her. And she fended them off with pepper spray. Do you know who's going to get prosecuted? It's not the attackers. It's the girl, because in Denmark, pepper spray is illegal. Understand that this is just, it's not just an America problem. This good being called evil and evil being called good is a global problem, and it will continue to exacerbate because the church itself is no longer a standard, a plumb line, or an anchor. And so the descent that was being slowed by the church trying to pull is no longer being slowed, because you have individuals denying the virgin birth. And the only thing that they seem to be concerned with right now is tithing at Hillsong is down $100,000 a week. $100,000 a week. These people, it's down by $5 million a year, just so you contextualize. People were giving Hillsong over $5 million a year, because it's down by $100,000 a week, but I'm sure some schmucks are still sending in their checks. Yeah. So that's the main concern. Business is down. We need to rejigger what Jesus means and who he is, because we're hoping to get some new blood in the old system and, you know, get that money up again. It's sad. Anyway, my time is up, children. Thank you for listening. I know. See, Gino's going to put this up early, so you're going to get it a few hours before you usually do. You're welcome. We'll see you again next week. May God bless you and keep you. And Gino, if you've got anything to say, it's yours.
Thank you, Mike. 1 John 2:23, whoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. You know, whoever denies the Lord, just like this guy that shouldn't be in the ministry, shouldn't be preaching. And, you know, you look in the last days, and you've heard it so many times, 2 Timothy 3, perilous times will come. A host of issues there that will be the reason we're in perilous times. But several of those biblical truths are going on right now. You look at June, we declared LGBTQ month. Can't we declare a month in America to honor Christ, honor the Lord? We've got to honor perversion and debauchery. And that's why God spoke in Jeremiah through his prophet, I would have healed Babylon, but it wouldn't be healed. That is the condition of America. That's why not only is Babylon fallen, but many of the so-called churches have fallen into apostasy. And, you know, we are in those perilous times. So one thing I loved about the show today was Mike's daughter saying he was her best friend. And that's a beautiful thing, you know, to raise your kids where they honor father and mother, where they love their parents. And, you know, there's so many things I gleaned from Mike's show, but it breaks your heart when you see people in the ministry literally deny the Lord or deny the virgin birth or whatever. They probably don't read their Bible, probably haven't studied the Word of God. But in the long run, that's where the Lord says, depart. I never knew you, you work of iniquity. We need to know the Word of God, live out the Word of God, honor the Word of God, and trust God's word. Thank you so much for listening to the Light of Truth radio broadcast. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, You can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.